Everybody, and welcome to episode number 32 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I'm Billy, and with me as always is Dave.
Hey, guys.
And we are going to be talking about new comics that are coming out this coming Wednesday, August 13th, 2014.
Right.
Yeah. And right off the bat, I see what I believe is the final issue of Original Sin, or the next to final issue of Original Sin, is coming out this week.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's like 7 or 8 issues or what.
It's 8 issues. Yeah. It says it right on the cover. And we get a futurist, old man Nick Fury in his space armor, looking very 1990s Cable-like on the cover.
Yeah, and apparently they're going to be spitting out a new Winter Soldier series from this miniseries.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know, it really goes back to that thing that we were talking about before about, you know, how they're introducing a new Nick Fury, or they have introduced a new Nick Fury, much like the Samuel L. Jackson one. But now this whole miniseries seems to be like, these are going to be my replacements.
Mm.
F you, son.
Wow, yeah. No love for Nick Fury Jr. from Nick Fury Sr., it seems.
Right. It's just going to be like Batman and Azrael and Nightwing all over again.
Yeah, it's funny. Every now and again, they'll come out with a Batman action figure of that Azrael costume, and they make no mention on the package about Azrael at all. They just say, oh, no, this is Arbor Batman now.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
Let's pretend that never happened.
Right, yeah, and very interesting that Joe Quesada was the designer of that costume.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. And now Joe Quesada would probably not design any costumes for DC if asked.
Yeah, not at all.
It's funny because around that time, Jim Lee was redesigning costumes for Marvel. How the tables have turned.
Ah, yes. That's very, very true. Old Nick Fury looks like Cable.
He does. I agree. I thought, like, a lot of people thought that was
Cable. Muscles.
Yeah, before Original Sin started, this image was released as, like, a teaser. And I mm-hmm. believe a lot of people thought it was Cable. They're like, okay, Original Sin has something to do with Cable, and he's not looking too good.
Yeah. Cable has a bad disease.
Yeah, it really does look like Cable the way Liefeld drew him in the early issues of X-Force.
Yeah. Huh.
I wonder if that was intentional. It had to be.
Probably, just maybe to throw people off.
Yeah. And then there's a variant cover by Mike McCone that has Spider-Man holding one of the Watcher's eyes. I don't know if that's going to have something to do with inside the with what's inside the book, but what's funny about that variant cover is at San Diego Comic-Con, at the Marvel Unlimited Plus panel, they gave out a variant of this variant cover, which was like a pencils-only first draft, and you know, he's wearing a Batman utility belt, and I think he's wearing like a Deadpool T-shirt and a bunch of other things. It's a really funny cover.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I wish I was there to get that issue or to get that cover.
I'm looking forward to the Fantastic Four number 5 Original Sin tie-in. This has really lined up. This Original Sin series has lined up awesomely with what's going on in the Fantastic Four. Just with them, like, you know, dissolving as a team, and more things come to light to even drive that nail deeper into the coffin of the Fantastic Four, and it's been a really fun read. A little, I was gonna say a little dark, but I mean, I think every Fantastic Four comic I've read in the past, you know, few years has, you know, it's been a fun like romp, but also like really, really kind of dark, especially with like the family stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe dark's not the right word, but very, emotional.
Mm. Yeah. That That cover is pretty dark. You've got the thing in handcuffs, basically. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, he kind of went on a bit of a tear the last issue after he found out some things that about Johnny Storm and Reed Richards and about him being able to a spoiler alert be able to turn back into a human for good.
Oh wow!
And it was written perfectly because it was one of those things where you look back and, you know, nobody's necessarily wrong, but, you know, you could see why someone would be hurt by it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And also coming out this week from Marvel is the latest issue of Nightcrawler by Chris Claremont and Todd Knock. I'm a little behind in this series. I've read up to issue 3, so I haven't read issue 4 yet. But if listeners follow Todd Knock on Twitter, if they don't, they definitely should. Because every time a new issue of Nightcrawler comes out, he gives away a sketch that he drew of Nightcrawler. And this time it's Nightcrawler and Rachel Summers. And all you have to do, I believe, is follow him on Twitter and then retweet his contest tweet. And then the day the book comes out on Wednesday, he gives it away to one lucky fan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Todd's really cool that He does a sketch retweet contest for every comic book convention that he's sketching at, where he will raffle off a sketch of a reader's choice, and it's based on people just retweeting his sketches that he puts out there, and he just tweets out every sketch he does during the con, and then like randomly picks one of the sketches that he tweeted, and then randomly picks one of the people who retweeted that sketch.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, sadly, I've never won. yeah, and we've got a new issue of Spider-Man 2099 by Peter David and Will Sliney. And Will Sliney's art is super cool. I see this guy being promoted to one of Marvel's top titles in the not-too-distant future.
Have you read 2099?
I haven't. I have not read the first issue. I actually met Peter David and got him to sign the first issue, but have not had a chance to read it yet.
Wow.
Did you read it?
No, I haven't really been keeping up with the Superior Spider-Man, all the Spider-Man stuff. I wasn't a big 2099 fan either, so there was no real draw for me.
You're like, I got nothing going here.
yeah. I mean, I'm interested in reading Dan Slott's Spider-Man, but, you know, it seems like a lot to start reading.
Right. But what's great about it is this new series is an excellent jumping on point, the new Amazing Spider-Man series that just relaunched after Superior ended. It basically, there are some things that carry over from Superior. There is some fallout that Peter Parker has to deal with. But it is like a terrific jumping on point for new readers.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we've got another issue of United States of Murder, Inc. number 4, which has quickly become one of my favorite creator-owned series out there right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
I know you've been talking about it every episode. Or not every episode, but every time the book comes out.
Every time the book comes out, I definitely am hyping it because I feel like not enough people are reading this book.
Very cool. New issue of Sex Criminals is coming out too.
Yeah, and I'm really behind on Sex Criminals. You read the first trade, right?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, I know Nick Doyle's really into Sex Criminals. I've read the first 4 issues, so I'm 3 issues behind on that one. Podcast is all the stuff we're behind on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I enjoy when I hear stuff out there that's great, and it might not necessarily be going on immediately, you know, like, right. Sometimes I'm like, I don't need another series to collect, but I would love to pick up another trade.
That's a good point.
And, you know, I think our podcast you know, helps for those some of those trade waiters.
That's a good point. That's definitely a good point. And one book that I cannot trade weight on, or two books I can't trade weight on, is Justice League Canada, because I'm addicted to buying the variant Canada cover, and Walking Dead, because I've graduated from the trades and just I need my monthly fix of Walking Dead. It was so nice when it was bi-weekly, and now it's back to monthly, and I'm like, I feel like I'm in some kind of withdrawal. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's so funny when books jump back to their regular monthly schedule, and you're like, I feel like I don't even know what's going on in the book because it's not coming out every other week.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm very happy that they're extending this Justice League Canada cover treatment. It seems like it's going to be the whole run of the series.
Oh, yeah, and I think you see online people are just referring to it as Justice League Canada.
That's terrific. It's such a better name than Justice League United.
Yeah, I feel like Justice League United, they were trying to, like, slightly, like, pull on Justice League Unlimited from the cartoon series.
Yes.
Which is cool, but, you know, I don't know if they mix it all. I just started reading. I read the second issue a couple weeks ago when the price dropped. And Ultra the Multi-Alien. Seems like he's going to have a pretty cool new 52 origin here.
I figured you'd be excited about that. If there's anyone who loves obscure DC characters making appearances.
Yeah. You know what? If Bloodwind was in this series, I would be like, what?
If Bloodwind was in this series, I'd be like, what? Bloodwind? I remember Bloodwind. I would be utterly shocked if he returns to the comics.
I think everybody remembers Bloodwind, which is why he should come back. He's obscure, but everybody remembers him. Yep. Everyone's like, hey, he was the black dude when Superman got killed.
Does everybody remember him favorably, though? He's kind of like Maggot from the X-Men. Maybe not that bad. Maggot is usually voted as the worst.
Well, come
X-Man
on. He's
ever.
Spelled wind with a Y.
Yeah.
You know. The 90s are back, man. The 90s are back.
He never did get why he spelled Bloodwind with a Y. And what were his powers? Did he make bloody wind?
No, he got his powers from like a blood diamond, which was like a voodoo, a magical voodoo gem. And basically, he was a minor superhero who like crossed paths with Martian Manhunter. And then, like, the Martian Manhunter, I think to save him or something, they ended up combining bodies. And so, like, the whole time that he was in the Justice League, that was actually, like, him mixed with the Martian Manhunter, I believe.
Oh, interesting.
Until after the death of Superman. And then he breaks apart and, you know, then fades into obscurity. He was, like, I think after, like, Jurgen's run ended, because he, like, was, like, all new awesome Justice League, and it was, like, nobody you really wanted to see in the Justice League. It was everybody I wanted to see in the Justice League. It was like, Wonder Woman, Black Condor, Agent Liberty, Bloodwind. I think Booster Gold and Blue Beetle were kind of there. And, yeah. And
It's like a complete... The complete opposite of the Big Seven Justice League.
Yeah, it was like the lowest of the low who had like no like who are these people?
And Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman. I was like, this is awesome, and everyone else was like, we're not buying this book.
Yeah, that was me. I did buy it during Doomsday and Funeral for a Friend, but.
Yeah,
I don't believe I bought it much longer after that.
Oh, well, that was two issues, so.
Okay. Yeah. I think I had a Marvel Summer crossover to put my money into.
Probably, yeah. From DC, we've got an awesome cover for Constantine. I've been so-so on his book when I read it, now that he's back in the DC Universe. I feel like it's been watered down from the Vertigo Constantine.
Oh, definitely. I agree with you 100% on that. Just because Constantine was one of like the most effed up books in Vertigo. Like I'd buy it when writers I knew were on it, and it
yeah,
would
me too.
Always be like Garth Ennis unleashing his worst demons.
Right, yeah. I mean, there was, you know, it had like such an awesome like list of creators who were on the book. And
yes.
I no slight to Ray Fox, but I feel like this book is very editorial driven. And at points, it's kind of like, you know, I get it. Now he's in the DC Universe. That's going to happen. You're going to have, you know, crossovers. You're going to have with, you know, the dark characters and the DC Universe as a whole. But when that's not happening, I don't necessarily need him to be mapping out all of, like, the magic in the DC Universe. I want him just being a jerk somewhere, you know?
Yeah, and being like a badass and dealing
right.
with magical threats.
Right. Like, having, you know, like, yeah, it just doesn't have the same feel of Constantine that I would pick up, like, here and there. And, you know,
yeah.
I think it was the same as you. Like, when I saw a writer on Constantine that I was a big fan of, I'd pick up that arc.
Right. Yeah, and then I like the Children of Man storyline from Hellblazer. I think that gave me nightmares the first couple of times I read it. I was like, this is messed up.
Yeah. Also out this week is World's Finest, who are now back on World 2.
And this is I don't know if this counts as a crossover with Earth 2, but the Earth 2 characters are going to be in here. Oh, it's the final issue, too.
It's kind of, I think that's like maybe the final issue, might not be.
Okay.
It's either DC is changing World's Finest to Batman Superman of Earth 2.
Okay.
Pre-death.
Right. So is that what Batman Superman, the series, is going to be?
No. World's Finest is going to be that.
Oh, I see.
And so I don't know if I don't know if they've said, you know, definitively yet if they're just going to keep, you know, with the numbering of this and just change the stories.
Right.
Or they're going to start back at a number one.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they start back at number one.
I mean, it would make sense, at least, you know, to me, that, you know, it makes more sense for them to get a number one when you change the characters completely, rather than, like, you know, Teen Titans or Suicide Squad, which pretty much feel like a very similar book to what was out before.
I was about to say the same thing. Yeah, it seems to make more sense definitely than like Suicide Squad, which looks like the almost the exact same team, and Teen Titans, which is the exact same team.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything different with the new Teen Titans team.
Yeah, except the creative team, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which Paul Levitz will be staying on to write these
interesting
stories, which I'm really interested to see how the quality of his writing is with that, because now he'll be less tied to continuity, and I feel like a lot of the problems with World's Finest it was you know, just biding time with, you know, what was going on in Earth 2.
That's a good point. Yeah, and not only, and then it also had to be, it had to pay attention to both what was going on in Earth 2 and what was going on in the main Earth.
Right.
Which seems annoying for any writer to have to deal with.
Yeah. Also, if anybody is keeping dibs on final issues, it's also the final issue of Birds of Prey.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised.
I'm not terribly surprised. After Dwayne Swarczynski left, Christy Marks picked up the writing, and it kind of felt like it went into a slump.
Oh, that stinks.
I've read a couple issues after that, and it's kind of picked up, but I don't know if, like, dialogue is her strength.
Huh. Yeah, I have not read it at all, and I'm not familiar with her writing in any way.
I think she writes for cartoons. Like, I believe she wrote for, I could be wrong, but I think she created or wrote Gem and the Holograms.
Wow, so she's pretty old then.
Yeah, yeah.
That cartoon was on when I was like a small child.
Right, right. Me too.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm just surprised that they're canceling Birds of Prey and not just getting a new creative team in there.
Yeah.
Only because it's one of those DC titles that it's funny because it's not like an old school DC title. It just started in like the late 90s. But it just seems like it's been in continuous publication, even though there have been a couple of renumberings.
Yeah, I guess it's been around for longer than most series has, you know, like
right.
Continuously. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's been around as long as like the newer JSA series have been around. You know, like they take a break every once in a while, but like, you know, basically, there's been like 2 to 3 series of, you know, these comics. Mm. So that's kind of a shocker. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Birds of Prey number one come from DC, you know, a couple months from now.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think they just need to find the right writer and artist on that. I'm trying to think who would you want writing Birds of Prey?
Greg Rucka.
Okay, interesting.
I feel like, you know, Chuck Dixon started them as this, like, you know, kind of like they were like James Bond but chicks. You know, they were, you know, there were women who you know, were spies, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, all helmed by Oracle, and it's a little, you know, I think the Dwayne Swierczynski did a good job of kind of moving them slightly away from that, and you kind of had to without Oracle in the New 52. But yeah, I feel like if somebody could find a good, you know, spy thriller in the Birds of Prey, I think it could be, you know, Greg Rucka.
That's a good point.
I don't know if Greg Rucka will work for DC right now, but that's who I put on the book.
He seems to be pretty anti the company right now.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you read last week, Billy?
Oh, man, I've been on such an X-Men kick lately. I really wanted to catch up on an all-new X-Men, so I went into the Marvel Digital Unlimited app and basically plowed through the start of the series all the way through Battle of the Atom and a couple issues after that. I actually took out the Trial of Jean Grey in hardcover from the library, so I wanted to, what's good about the Marvel Digital Unlimited app, it has all the issues leading just up to that in there. So I was like, I'm just going to read all of these. And then I also took out Uncanny X-Men Volume 3 from the library, which is The Good, the Bad, and the Inhuman. And that reprints... That's a good question. What issues does it reprint? It reprints issues 14 through 18. Basically, this is the fallout after Battle of the Atom also. Battle of the Atom is really cool. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's basically the premise is, in all new X-Men, the X-Men of the past are now in the present. And in Battle of the Atom, some X-Men from the future come to the present and say, listen, we got to send these X-Men from the past home because if they stay, it messes with the space-time continuum and, like, a horrible disaster is going to happen. And the X-Men aren't sure if they can trust these future X-Men, but they all agree they're going to send the kids back, and the kids don't want to go back. And it went through every X title, and the writers, actually the regular creative team of every book stayed on the book, even though it was very focused on the all-new X-Men, and then also the characters from whatever book, you know, they're interacting with.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty cool storyline.
Yeah, it was really cool. It had a couple of teams of futuristic X-Men show up, so you got to see where, you know, some classic characters are, and you got to see some new characters, too. It was very cool, and I love future storyline kind of things. I'm such a sucker for things like Days of Futures Past and pretty much like any Doctor Who episode. So
it
was very, very cool. And Brian Bendis and Stuart Immonen are just killing it on All New X-Men. I think the inker is Wade Von
Grobadger.
He was the inker on Starman, right?
Right. Up until Peter's...
Right, because he inked himself, I think. But he is
actually didn't.
Oh, okay.
And then he ended up doing that because that was the way he was used to working.
So he's Stuart Immonen's inker on All New X-Men, and the art in it's fantastic. It was really cool actually reading I read the trade for the first volume of All New X-Men. And in the back, you get to see how Stuart lays out his page, and like you pick up on all these Easter eggs because he puts in so much emotion and detail, even into background characters, by the way they're carrying themselves and the way they're posed. You know, he doesn't skimp on anything.
Wow!
Like everything is very deliberate, and that it's really awesome. Even like deciding which characters he puts in the background. And like their facial reactions to what's going on in the foreground. It's just a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So All New X-Men is a series that I think everybody should get into. You know, even if you weren't buying X-Factor in the 80s.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have been wanting to catch up on the X-Men titles, but I'm starting an indie romp right now of all the indie books I have backed up to read.
Now, did you catch up completely on Manhattan Projects?
Yeah, so I'm completely caught up with the trades. It was awesome. It was a great series, and the way that the fourth trade ends, I'm like, oh man, I want to know. I want to know where this is going. it's pretty exciting to see. It seems like a little bit of a new direction, There's a bit of time jumps within the storyline, so it's not, you know, there's shifts in how the story's told and the characters, so it's always like very interesting. And so I finished that, and then I read the first two trades of East of West, another Jonathan Hickman book.
Yeah, so you're just making your way through Jonathan Hickman's like whole opus.
I think I've read most everything that Jonathan Hickman has written up till now. minus his, like, you know, current Avengers books that he's been writing.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you going to start reading his Avengers books from the beginning?
I'll probably jump on that at some point. There's a sale on God is Dead going on right now.
Oh, okay.
Which is his Avatar book, I believe.
Yes.
Which is co-written at first by Matt Costa, and then Matt Costa picks it up. So I'm interested in checking that out. I've heard good things about that.
Yeah, I bought the first issue of that in print, and it's one of those books that I have in a pile, and which is why I shouldn't buy print comics, because it's just sitting in a pile unread right now.
Right.
It's so nice, the iPad. Like, being able to just... Because I've been traveling so much this summer, and hauling around, like, a bunch of paper comics is not the way to go.
Yeah. That has definitely made, like, packing for reading so much easier.
Yeah. Comics take up so much space, and you read them so quickly, you know?
Yeah. But I don't think I'm going to jump on God is Dead just yet. I think I'm going to jump over and read Edison Rex, like we were talking about last week.
Oh, Edison Rex is so good. I'm caught up completely on the series now. I finished those last couple of issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is, at 99 cents an issue, is like a bargain.
Yeah, it sounds like it's packed with good stuff.
Yeah, and but, as a Superman fan, I think you're going to love it.
Yeah, I'm excited about that because I feel like a lot of times, like, people don't know what to do with Superman and his, like, main title because they're too scared of taking chances with him.
Right.
And actually, whatchamacallit, that was a book that was put out by DC a little bit like that about the nerve-wracking experience of writing Superman. And that was written by, what's his name? The guy, we were just talking about him last week, and I read his book this week.
I'm not sure.
All right, I will tell you in 2 seconds. All right, okay, Steven Siegel.
Oh, okay.
I think it's called, like, It's a Bird or something.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And but I read his new number one from Image this week, Imperial. And I liked it a lot. And it seems it was funnier than I was expecting for it to be.
Right.
It was a lot of like setup. But funny, and basically this guy is, you know, saying goodbye to his father's ashes, and this Shakespearean like superhero comes down and says, "You're here to take my place," and the Shakespearean dialogue is played for laughs, and then I think you're going to see the main character start talking like that. And, you know, he's in the middle of getting engaged and planning a wedding. And it's definitely seems like it's going to be a pretty funny book. I definitely suggest people check it out. And I'm looking forward to reading issue two.
And what's the name of the title again?
Imperial.
Imperial, right? Yeah, I saw that I was actually in Midtown Comics last week, and I saw it on their rack there, and I left it. You know what? I should have picked it up. I'm gonna have to probably just download that off the Comixology app.
Yeah, yeah. The art's pretty good. It seems like fairly sparse in the way it's drawn, but the artist is a solid artist just by, you know, how he draws everything.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's So I'm on a complete X-Men kick. You're on a complete Image, Avatar, and all the other independents kick.
Also, I read Earth 2 from this week. I don't know if you did.
I think I did.
It was pretty much the end of the storyline about the evil Superman.
You know what? I'm not sure if I did, actually. I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. It was... I think I did, and Val has an awesome quote in it. I did read one issue of Earth 2 this week, and I hope it was this month's issue, not last month's issue, where he talks about knowing Cal's mom and was like, you know, your mother would be disappointed of you.
Right, right, yeah, that's the issue.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that was a great issue. I love that was an awesome fight. I almost said a super fight, and I stopped myself.
You should have went with it. That would have been
I know, and that's where that stutter came from. I was like, that was a awesome fight.
yeah, I really like the issue. It's a great Elseworlds book. That's what Earth 2's turned into.
Pretty much.
It's hard to look at it as a Golden Age JSA book anymore.
No, not unless,
because
yeah.
I mean, there was that. I enjoyed the story, but could I give a spoiler for the ending?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Earth 2 Evil Superman turns out to be Earth 2 Bizarro.
Yeah, I thought that was a great twist. I did not see that.
It was. I didn't see it coming either, and I was like, "That's a cool twist." However, Bizarro's a Silver Age character. That's where I got angry. So
that is funny. Yeah, Bizarro not a Golden Age character.
Right.
again, the Android Red Tornado not either.
Right, but no.
At least there was a Red Tornado.
Yeah, but. The Red Tornado joined the Justice Society before he joined the Justice League.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. However, that it's Lois Lane kind of, that bothers me in that Hal Jordan as the Spectre kind of way.
All right. But she's a Golden Age character.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. We've heard enough of my diatribes about, what I think's wrong with Earth 2. A cool book that DC has announced
yes.
coming out that is in the Earth 2 vein is, it's a new Batman book, and the main character is Jim Corrigan, a.k.a. the Spectre.
Interesting.
And apparently it's going to be spinning out of the new or the current Batman Weekly series, Batman Eternal.
And it's going to be a non-Spectre Jim Corrigan series?
Well, it's going to focus on Spectre will be there, but he's not going to be, like, the main character, you know what I mean? Like, he'll be a force to be reckoned with within the series, but like Jim Corrigan is going to be the main lead.
Okay.
But it's going to be by Ray Fox, who's one of the writers on Batman Eternal, and it is going to be drawn by Ben Templesmith.
Ooh, that's a good that's a good art pick for a Jim Corrigan series.
Right. That's what I thought. But it's not going to be called Jim Corrigan or the Spectre. It is going to be called Gotham by Midnight.
Ah, interesting. So I wonder if that title will sell worse or better than if they just called it the Spectre.
I think it's going to sell a little better. I think, you know, it looks like Batman's going to be a background player. You're going to see a lot of people from Gotham in here, police. People, etc., and they might be hoping for a little boost in sales from the Gotham TV show.
Good point. Oh yeah, Gotham by Midnight, Gotham. Yeah. Speaking of film versions of comic book characters, I finally saw Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, what'd you think?
I liked it. I didn't love it. I kind of felt about it the same way I felt about the first Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where I love Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker in Spider-Man. I love Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy. And I even think Sally Field is great as Aunt May. But the story itself, like the Peter Gwen stuff was great, but the whole like you know, his parents being on the run and like the three different villains, even though the Rhino is barely in it. The Green Goblin, the Harry Osborn Green Goblin, just did not do it for me at all. It reminded me too much of the Spider-Man musical. actually, a lot of the later plot of the movie where after Harry becomes the Green Goblin and then, you know, it turns out he's got all these, like, basically the weapons that create Spider-Man's enemies. Like, you see Dr. Octopus's arms and the vulture's wings, and you know he creates the Rhino. That seemed, you know, very very similar to the Spider-Man musical, which I hated. And I don't know. I like these two Spider-Man movies have such great moments in them, but at the same time, it seems so-so overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Guardians of the Galaxy by any chance?
No. My dad's gonna be coming down, I think, for the bridal shower, not this weekend, but the following weekend. And so I'm hoping to see it that weekend with him. So.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it is excellent. I tried convincing my wife to see it a second time this weekend, and it didn't work. But so we watched Amazing Spider-Man 2 instead.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing I saw was, which is coming out on DVD today, Tuesday, is Batman Assault on Arkham, the new DC Universe cartoon. This is written by the same screenwriter who wrote Justice League War and directed by the same director who directed Justice League War.
That's
Jay Oliva is the director, and the screenwriter's name, I'm blanking for a minute.
Is it Adam something?
No, I think it's Nate something. Let me think. It is... Oh, I'm sorry. We were both wrong. Heath Corson is the screenwriter.
That's right. Yes. He's on the Nerdist Writers Panel Comics Edition most of the time.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's really cool. I don't know anything about him other than having seen Justice League War and seen Batman Assault on Arkham. He is perfect. Like, he's perfect for Jay Oliva. Like, the two of them just seem to work so well together because both of these movies are great. Assault on Arkham is not a kid-friendly movie. Like, this is not the Batman cartoon like you buy your niece or nephew. Mm-hmm. There's decapitation in it. There's a lot of sexual innuendo in it, and, you know, an off-camera sex scene. Yeah, yeah. Harley Quinn is being, like, full, you know, New 52 Harley Quinn in this. Or, I think that's because it's based on the Batman Arkham video games, which are made for, like, a teen to adult audience.
Right.
And it follows that continuity. Like, all the characters are dressed like they would be in those video games. But it was excellent. I definitely recommend checking it out.
Cool.
And it not only is it a cool Batman movie, it's an awesome suicide... Like, it's a sneaky Suicide Squad movie. Because basically what it is that the Suicide Squad is invading Arkham Asylum to kill the Riddler, and Batman has to stop them... and also, you know, find the location of some bomb that the Joker has planted.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but it was a very, very cool and, like, very action-packed. Like, it goes very quickly.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that's it for me. I've had so much, like, comic book stuff related this week between watching these two movies and, like, just diving into the Marvel Unlimited app so much that... I seem to have forgotten to read, like, this week's books, except for Earth 2.
Well, that's how it is some weeks.
Yeah, and I think as soon as we end this recording, I'm going to go back into reading more comics.
Nice.
Don't tell my wife. Yeah. So what do you think? Is that the end of the episode?
I think so.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening another week. We're 32 episodes in now, which is... we've passed my other podcast, The Billy and Brian Show, which I believe is only up to episode 28.
Yeah, what's up, Brian?
Yeah, this podcast has been around for a little over a year. That one's been around for a few years. I got to talk to Brian. We got to get some more episodes out. But please, you know, listen every week. New York Comic Con is coming. Dave and I will both be there, and we've got a lot of fun stuff planned for New York Comic Con. I actually wanted to talk about New York Comic Con ticket sales this week because it was like a madhouse around New York City. People talking. You know what? Let's not end the podcast just yet. I got to talk about New York Comic Con tickets.
All right.
Every year, New York Comic Con tickets sell out faster and faster. Last year, they sold out online in a couple of weeks. This year, they sold out online in a couple of hours. Last year, for the start of ticket sales at the retail locations, there was a line at Midtown Comics that people had camped out since like 9 p.m. the night before in the rain at the downtown Midtown Comics location. So they were camping outside in the rain in an alley. And then that day, the line stretched 6 blocks to get New York Comic Con tickets. Now, I walked into the store the next day, bought tickets, no problem. This year, Same thing. They had to cap the line at 12:30 at the Downtown Midtown Comics. And even 2 hours after they capped the line was still like a full circle around the block.
Wow.
And it was like
that's,
six
that's
wide.
Ridiculous.
Too. Yeah, and it wasn't a single file line. The line was like six people wide. They sold out. Midtown Comics was the only store selling 4-day passes. They sold out of their 4-day and 3-day passes. They sold out of all their 3-day passes for all three stores at the downtown store that first day. And then they were sold out of 4-day passes, I think. I went to the Fulton Street store downtown and got there just as they opened. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a head count of people online. And they were like, no, we're sold out of 4-day and Saturday passes before the store even opened.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. By like the end of the day, they had sold out of their Sunday tickets, their Saturday tickets, their Friday tickets. All they have left are Thursday tickets. And every store in the city, I went to another comic book store that was selling just single-day tickets. They sold out of their Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday tickets. I'm like, Who sells out of Thursday tickets?
Jeez.
Yeah. It was a madhouse. I was looking at Twitter that day. It was just a lot of disappointed people because a lot of smaller stores did like pre-sales to their regular customers, which they weren't supposed to do. So as much of a madhouse Midtown Comics was, it seems like they were the most up and up on like, okay,
we're doing this the right way.
Yeah, we have tickets. It's going to take you hours to get to the front of the line, but you know, we'll do this. And but yeah, people started camping out at the Downtown Midtown Comics on Wednesday at 6 a.m., and the tickets went on sale on Thursday at 10 a.m.
Jeez.
So 28 hours early.
Wow.
Yeah. I stayed away from that. I did walk by during my lunch hour, and it was just like a line of miserable-looking people just baking in the summer sun. Yeah. Luckily, though, Dave and I have press passes, so we'll definitely be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we will. You know, it'd be cool if we could actually broadcast from New York Comic Con. I gotta look into that.
Yeah, maybe we'll be able to do something like maybe in like a press booth or something like that.
Yeah, because they do have they have a podcast arena where they actually have people recording podcasts live at the show. I don't know if they still do that. I know they used to. But yeah, I can't wait. It's only 2 months away at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
psyched. You're right. Awesome.
Yeah, Dave's got a wedding to worry about 3 months away, you know. But I just get to be excited about this.
Yeah, I've got 80 other things on my mind, but I'll be there.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. This podcast wouldn't exist without you listeners, and both Dave and I definitely appreciate it. And we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.